Welcome to Ask Christian Counseling Associates with your host, Dr. Rich Hoffman, founder and clinical director of Christian Counseling Associates, or CCA. We are the leading faith-based counseling organization. It is our hope that during your listening time, you will receive sound clinical advice, inspiration, and timeless wisdom to face daily challenges. And now, here is your host of Ask Christian Counseling Associates, Dr. Rich Hoffman.
Welcome, everybody, to Ask Christian Counseling Associates. And I want to welcome our special guest today from TrueFace.org. He is the author of The Cure for Groups. We have Robbie Angle with us today. Thank you, Robbie, for being with us.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So Robbie is an expert in leading authentic groups. He has a passion for that ministry that happens in small groups and churches, or what we might refer to as life groups. And his organization, TrueFace, equips people to experience authentic relationships. And why, you know, we're out here doing this ministry, TrueFace is seeing that many of us are disconnected in our relationship with God, ourselves, and others. And so TrueFace provides content, relational experiences, and leadership development to help people and teams live authentically and experience freedom. And so Robbie, do you want to tell us a little bit more about your organization, maybe some of the things that you commonly encounter that would help people, you know, connect with the resources that you have?
Yeah. TrueFace is a 27-year-old message-based ministry started by Bruce McNichol and Bill Thrall. I took over from the president founder, Bruce, almost 3 years ago. And this is a ministry, the signature teaching on identity and grace called The Cure. It's a book called The Cure, What If God Isn't Who You Think He Is and Neither Are You? And this teaching changed my life. I was like, who are these guys out in Arizona writing this stuff? So I was reading everything I could. And at the time, I was at North Point Church with Andy Stanley over the groups in Georgia. And so I was infusing their teaching, which taught the foundations of how to experience rooms of grace, high trust relationships, where we can not only learn about truths, but experience them relationally. So I was using their teaching in our groups model at North Point, and I bought enough boxes of books that eventually I got to know the guys. And so I left North Point and took over at TrueFace. And the essence of the ministry is we are behind the scenes equipping churches, counseling practices, organizations, individuals with really relational discipleship tools to help them experience deeper relationships with God and others. Because I don't know about you, Richard, but I like many of us, we read the New Testament and we long for more peace and freedom and an experience of authentic connection with God and others. And religion does okay, gets us somewhere, but then it goes, man, I'm not really experiencing the stuff that the New Testament alludes to the potential of me experiencing. And we long for more. We don't know how to apply truths relationally, because when we trust truths, that's always an application of truth that moves from our head to our heart. And trusting truth is always relational. So we help create tools to help people trust truth, meaning practice truth in relationship, which is easier said than done. And so we want to come alongside and equip people with tools to help experience those deeper relationships that Jesus really made possible.
Wow, that sounds great. And you know, here at Christian Counseling Associates, we get about 6,000 referrals a year. And I think this is the same outside of the church as it is inside of the church, that we have a tendency to want to show people that we're okay, that, you know, on the surface we can be trusted. And so, you know, we tend to wear what I would say this psychological mask. You know, it's sort of like a front that we show people. And it's very polite to do that. And so, you know, when we're in the church, I often call it wearing my Sunday best. Back in the old days, you dressed up in a suit and a tie, and you kept those clothes nice for Sunday. And I think to some extent we still, we still dress up when we go to church, but psychologically, we're doing that all the time. And then there's this deeper level of us. God's word would refer to this as our heart, our spiritual heart. Deep down inside, there are things that we struggle with, conflicts that we have, desires that we don't want anybody to see. But in the church, the design is that we would build trust, build relationship, authentic relationship with people that would allow that to come out, and that we would work on that together. And so we find that that's really challenging. I'd be interested, in the churches that you've been in. Tell us, maybe an example of an experience that you saw that people, struggle with this type of transparency or this authenticity.
How much time you got? What you just said was so spot on, and we could talk all day about this, about how. Like, I love what y'all are doing, because we do wear masks, and that's because of our shame. Our shame says, if you really knew me, Richard, like really, Robbie, you'd go, why is he on this podcast? How is he a Christian leader? My shame says I'm a failure. Guilt says I failed. Shame says I am a failure. Guilt says I screwed up. Shame says I am a screw up. Shame is an indictment on my identity, which forces me to wear a mask to show you the Robbie and the listeners the Robbie that I want you to see. The crazy lie is, when I wear a mask, it's my mask that receives love, not me. And so all of us long to experience love, but we're wearing masks, and our masks are receiving the love, not us. And we can only be loved to the degree that we're known, and we can't be known because of our shame. And that's where the gospel and the answer in counseling is really so different than traditional secular counseling, of which I practiced before working at North Point, because the truth of identities as now righteous saints, sons and daughters of the King, is the identity that takes care of our shame, which allows us to take down our mask and become more known. And so that is the foundation of everything that we could talk literally days about, because I think we can't become more known unless we trust in our new identity, that my identity is not bestowed by you, Richard, or what you see me, because I've received an identity as an adopted son of a loving father, and I'm a saint. I have Christ in me. Christ is my new identity. Therefore, I can let you see me, the real me, not the mask. And that is really central, which is where Christians should be better, but we spend a lifetime maturing into the depths of truths of our new identity and practicing trusting those truths, which leads to taking care of our shame, which is connected to our ability to be more authentic. And so I think all groups, all of us pose to some degree wear masks, but part of how the importance of God's design for us in community is that we get to practice loving each other and being vulnerable in environments that help us practice trusting this new identity as saints.
Wow. If I could sum that up, it is, as we grow in our ability to trust Christ, we need to grow in our ability to practice trusting others. And yes, that is an outflow of God's design that can strengthen us in our faith and help us grow past some of the things that we're stuck with when we first got to the church and first started being ministered to.
Amen. Well said.
Hello, I'm David Collins with Christian Counseling Associates, in particular the Foundation for Christian Counseling. I'm also a licensed professional counselor. Just talk to you a minute about what the Foundation does and what we can provide. We strengthen the local communities, the families. We create this foundation. We do that through supporting marriages and marriage tune-up. We do that through supporting individuals in parenting and Christian active parenting. We also our community support, and obviously each of those people are located in the community, and so we seek to connect those folks with our partner churches. We really engage with helping people in those times, in those floods of their life where they're in crisis, and that crisis we help to point them, we help to shine a light towards the foundation, the rock that is Christ. We really seek and aim to meet those people in crisis, to let them know that we care, that there's a way forward, that we can keep things accessible as far as support and help through the particular foundation grants that we offer. And that is just a bit about the vision and the mission that Foundation for Christian Counseling is after. Your giving transforms communities one family at a time.
So we have Robbie Angle here from True Face, author of The Cure for Groups. And here at Christian Counseling Associates, we have group therapy that we call TAG groups, T-A-G, transparency, accountability, and growth. That's what T-A-G stands for. And what we're really doing is we're training people after they've been in individual counseling and they've made great progress to go to the next level and start trusting people, maybe for the first time, or trusting people again, or finding a new level where they might be stuck and they didn't know it in one-on-one counseling. And now all of that in God's design is coming out. And I really think it's an opportunity for us to have Robbie Angle here today to talk about why we should do this. And what you just said in the last segment there, I think really defines that for us, that it is an outflow of our faith. As we trust Christ, we must practice trusting each other. But in your book, The Cure for Groups, you're talking about five core components to authentic small groups, or authentic participation in small groups. Tell us about these core concepts.
Yeah, so in working with a lot of churches, the majority of churches now, really most churches above kind of 400 or 500, say, hey, in order to be an Acts 2 type community where we're more known, more loved, doing life together, we need to create environments that are more conducive for intimacy and being known on a deeper level. So we create some type of life group, cell group, small group. Same with the counseling agency going, hey, out of therapeutic environments, let's do this TAG, let's help people, equip people with these TAG groups. This is critical to our design, to the church. The problem is, as a lot of us have been a part of a small group, most small groups in churches, which are critical to the spiritual formation model of the church, are pretty lame. We show up and it's like, hey, what do you want to study next? Or, I mean, it's like we waffle around and it's like, is this really worth 90 minutes a week? I got a lot to do.
Well, what I find is that small groups, they get addicted to content. They pick a book, they want to read this book, and it's almost like a Bible study with a whole bunch of people in it, which is good. You know, we need Bible study, but small groups are not really directly after that. It's something different. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I mean, you see the spectrum. Some are just supper clubs where it's just like hangout time, and it's missing the intentionality piece that leads to more growth and processing truths and dealing with more depth. And then what you said, more content-driven groups where we show up, we learn, we read, we feel good about ourselves, and we go home. That's not effective either in regards to, you know, wrestling with truths and applying those truths. Those content-driven groups miss a question, miss a segue of application, of asking a question, what faith step is God inviting me to take? We talk about stuff and then we go home. We don't really personalize that, partly because we don't trust the environment and it doesn't feel safe, and our shame's going, don't say that out loud and don't open up. And so yeah, there's all kinds of spectrums of why groups are lame. But the reality is, it's hard. Like, it's you know, God's designed us to grow through relationships, but relationships that actually lead to spiritual growth, all of us, if we think about it right now, what are the consistent, intentional relationships that we have in our life that are sharpening us as we follow Jesus, as Jesus followers, that we're breaking bread with, that we're processing truths personally, in our faith journey, that we're walking with people to, in this way of following Jesus, to trust him more fully? That's hard to come by. And so we need to give grace to each other and to churches that this is easier said than done. And that's why we're creating these teachings and these tools to help churches and organizations and individuals understand the principles that differentiate the great groups from the lame groups.
Wow, that sounds really great. And you mentioned Acts chapter 2. That specifically talks about this, and I'm just going to reference this for the folks who are listening. Well-known verse, that in chapter 2 we find that when the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place, and they have this encounter with the Holy Spirit that comes like tongues of fire, But we see them having this experience together in close quarters. And that's one of the things, like in our culture, we're often, way far spread apart. We're in our own houses, in our own neighborhoods. We don't really get that close together. And I really believe that you referenced this in verse 42, further on in the chapter, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. And so it's that last part that I often, reflect on. What does it mean to have everything in common? And is that what's supposed to be happening in small groups? Because if it was, that sounds risky. It sounds exciting. It sounds like you don't really get to the end of it. How can we, have everything in common? What do you think that means for us?
Well, I think you're right. It is risky. Most of us, there's a direct correlation. The depth that we trust people with our real selves, there's a parallel potential conflict and pain and difficulty. Most all of us have experienced broken trust, which sets up walls and keeps people at a distance, relationships at a distance. And most of us listening will live our entire lives in kind of a, let's say, on a 0 to 100 spectrum. Most of us live our lives in like the 30 to 70 or the 40 to 60 range. 60, 70 being the upside, the beauty of intimate, connected, real relationships where the last 10% of me, good and bad, my hopes and dreams and my sin cycles and my patterns of lust and who I'm lingering around and the last icky stuff about me. That's the upside. The downside of that is the pain, the difficulty. And so if we stretch that 70 into being fully known and fully loved into 80, 90, the potential difficulty and hurt of abandonment is increased. And so it takes courage. And a lot of us have been hurt and we have made a vow to ourselves that it's not worth it because of the pain. So we limit the depth of being known that we experience, and that connects to God and with others. And it's just not worth the risk if we're honest with ourselves. And so we resign and get comfortable, and then we lose the ability, because of atrophy of our practicing these things, to actually know how to experience deeper relationships. And so that's a normal difficulty that all of us are functioning in, that protective, not wrong, because we've been hurt, so we protect ourselves. But man, what we miss out on is the richness of being known and loved and real community. And yes, with that could come potential pain, but the beauty of Acts 2 is that they took the risk and the courage, and they experienced the beauty which we long for. and comes with a high level of trust of God and others, like you said earlier.
Wow, so a great way to really recognize what the goal is in having everything in common, sharing that way, but going past a barrier where we're going to discover pain. And so we often just avoid that. When that opens up, you know, there's this wonderful part of relationship that many of us are missing. And many of us are so out of touch with that we lose practice. And it's just like you said, an atrophy or like a muscle you don't use. After a while, it gets really, weak and funky.
And that's the majority of us in our Western society. I mean, this is a normal thing for all of us. We long for deeper relationships, but we don't have it, and we don't even know how to get it. And before, I know you asked me a couple minutes ago about the five core components in the book. I'll get there. But I'll start with two principles that for all of us to take a step towards deeper relationships that we long for and which takes courage to do. And these are so simple, but don't lose the depth of them. It is to deepen relationships, which we long for. There's two primary principles, consistency and intentionality. If we're not consistent with somebody, meaning like, does my calendar reflect that you, Richard, are a new friend that's important to me? Do we have a baseline of consistency to build reps and time and trust? So consistency is the first part. We can't expect to have deeper relationships without consistency. The second one is intentionality, because I have consistency in 30 years of touch points with some old high school buddies, but you can have a depth, you can have consistency without intentionality and depth. So intentionality looks like we're not just getting together and talking about SEC football every time we're hanging out. You and I, you're asking me questions like Jesus asked, going, hey, Robbie, what's something you're proud of that's happened in the past 30 days? What's something you're afraid of? How's your heart doing? What would your wife, Emily, say? How are you pursuing her? That intentionality through questions that you could do would be how you love me with intentionality married with consistency. So two principles on a broad level for all of us to take a step into this Acts 2 life is who in our life, what other Jesus followers are we intentional and consistent with?
So consistency and potentiality. I would just, I lead a small group and really busy, professionally and otherwise with the family. And so we hold our small group on Saturday mornings very early. We meet for 2 hours every other week. And then when the weather's good, we put activities in there. But every other week, I make a commitment to be there because I want to get that consistency. And I find, if I can just do that. And so if I have family coming into town that Saturday or I have some kind of activity, I say, that's gonna wait because I have this priority meeting with these folks. And then tell me the second.
Intentionality.
I think I said potentiality. Intentionality. We talk about getting to the heart. And how we're body, soul, spirit, and at the core of that connects it all together is the spiritual heart. Theologically, they call that the tripartite theory of man. But we give that to our group as a model because we say, when we're dealing with each other, when are we talking about that and when are we not talking about that? So that intentionality, getting to the heart or what, however you're going to use that. And again, you have five core components, I'm imagining, to get us there. But those two principles, consistency and intentionality.
That's right. And really, the five core components are helping us do that. And let's be clear, relationships are central to our spiritual growth, not small groups or life groups. Life groups and small groups are simply a framework to help us be intentional and consistent. Just like Jesus was intentional and consistent with his disciples. Nothing's new under the sun. In our busy world, we just need what you just described, which is, hey, is it on the calendar for consistency and intentionality when we get together? Because how do we maximize that time? Luckily for your group, you're a doctor and a clinical therapist. And so they have a resident expert for the intentionality piece. Most small groups don't. So we sit around and go, what do we do? So the five core components are helping add that intentionality piece to us normal small group leaders. And the five core components that we unpack in the book that really, from my experience, differentiate amazing groups from those that are struggling are built around a sailing metaphor to help you remember the five core components. So come on, man, come on. So the first one is the destination. When you're going on a sailing journey, do you have a destination? And what that means is, have you determined the goals for your group? A lot of us are thinking about our small groups right now. And if I came into your small group and said, hey, what are the goals for your group? If there's seven people, I'd get seven different answers, or it'd be nebulous. And so if we don't have a destination, we're going to have a hard time. We're going to get somewhere, but it's probably not going to be where we're going. And so we guide groups through a simple conversation that everybody can verbalize their expectations and their goals and their hopes to have a unified why behind the meeting. And so that's the first one, the destination. Do you want me to run through all five of these?
Yeah, you know, that'd be great. Like, we could take it one by one, and for the folks at home, I'll summarize it at the end and make sure that we get away. And for people watching, they're gonna see this up on the screen while you talk.
Cool. Okay. Slow me down. Jump in anytime. Obviously, I'm a groups nerd, so I get a little excited about this stuff.
Okay. So number one, we have the destination. We need to know where we're going, and have a goal.
That's right. Determine the goals for your group. And when you think about leadership teams and executive teams in the business world, if they're meeting together as an executive team, it's more easy to clarify goals for working teams to execute and serve as a bearing to readjust their focus. We need to take that principle and put it into our small groups. The second core component is the captain, and that is the group leader, which is critical, or how each person is officially or unofficially impacting the rest of the group. And the captain steers and helps readjust and point towards the destination. And really, anybody in a group has the power to lead. This isn't whether you're quote unquote the official small group leader, but the power of leadership and how any of us can affect the group is really with leading with intentionality and vulnerability, which we've been talking about since we jumped on this podcast of how do we lead with intentionality and model vulnerability. Those are the core attributes of leadership that all of us can do as the captain of the ship.
So you need a captain in a small group, and in the groups that we run, life groups anyway, I should say, we really train people to say, we're leading you up to understand this model. I'm modeling this for you. And my hope is that someday we get to about 12 people, you know, just like Jesus did, and then we'll send you out. You know, we'll choose one of us to split this group in two, and we'll continue building this. And so I want you to imagine that you'll each, you know, someday lead these groups. You'll be a captain. But a small group needs that.
Yep. And it's an incredible opportunity to minister to others. As the leader of different groups, as the church staff guy, I'd be talking about looking at porn and my struggle with that. And they'd go, whoa, if Robbie can talk about that, then you get to set the precedent for vulnerability and that others can follow, because most of a group will rise to the degree of vulnerability of the leader. And so that is why that's one of those core components of modeling vulnerability. And the reality is, I'm not putting down my mask and letting y'all know the real me unless I'm secure in my new identity in Christ, that Christ is in me, that I'm a righteous son. And that's how identity is so critically connected for Jesus followers, to vulnerability, but we have new identities.
So the captain or the leader of a group is really responsible for modeling this vulnerability that's going to open people up. And that's not an easy job. We can get better and better at doing it, though.
Yeah, a friend of mine says a leader has to give bullets to people in the group. And bullets can be used to harm you or protect you. And in a trusted environment, bullets of vulnerability can be used to protect you from weaknesses. For example, if you knew my predisposition to pleasing God and striving and not trusting God, then as you see me, focus a little bit more, drift potentially in my motive of what's driving my ministry, you can protect me from that, protect me from my weaknesses. You get to support my strengths and protect me from my weaknesses if I let you know the real me and my weaknesses, because you could say, Robbie, I see this. I just want to check in on you. That's protecting from weaknesses, which you won't know unless I trust you. So yeah, again, probably the most critical core component connected to identity, which differentiates us as Jesus followers, because we can move in security and not shame.
That's great. So number three, the crew. Tell us about that.
That's right. Any ship has a crew. And every small group has a culture, a group culture. So all family systems, you know this more than most, have spoken and unspoken rules. Family systems, organizational cultures, all have spoken and unspoken rules that kind of direct the culture. All small groups and gatherings have some spoken and unspoken rules. So the point here is, hey, let's clarify our culture by setting up guardrails of like, hey, we're not going to use sarcasm in this group. That's clarifying a culture with a guardrail, and clarifying a culture of values. Like, we are going to value protecting each other's weaknesses. And we're going to value not fixing each other. Fixing is behavior sin management, behavior modification. Fixing shuts us down. But asking questions and inquiring, that's a value that can determine a culture of a group environment that fosters growth.
So I remember in the early days of my church participation, I was in a lot of scenarios where we were really going to spend some time together, and what that would entail is us sitting in an audience style, row by row, looking at each other's backs and listening to one person get up and talk to us. And you could stay there the whole time and not really share anything of you or become known. With this, clarifying the culture, how the crew is going to be, I ran into somebody eventually who said, you know what, we're going to use this time to get into each other's lives. Yep. And he would sit us around, a group, we'd face each other, it would be really casual. He would point that out, and he'd say, like, look, this is the way it's going to be. This is what's going to happen. And that would go on for every session, and professionally what we call that is shaping group norms. Yes. We look at the unspoken rules of everything, and the leader, and then you want to get the group involved in really shaping that in a way that's going to lead to vulnerability, and those other things that are core. So that's a really great point.
That's it. And as a therapist, shaping group norms is critical for group dynamics. But how many small groups spend any time to verbalize and shape group norms? Well, not many, because we don't even know we're supposed to, because we didn't go to grad school to figure out that that's important. So again, these are things that are just trying to help each other.
Christian Counseling Associates is ready to serve you, providing a wide range of counseling services. Christian counseling is accessible to everyone. We serve both Christians who want their faith integrated into the counseling process, or those holding any beliefs or attitudes toward spirituality. With many years of counseling experience, our counselors are professional, licensed, highly trained, and rooted in their commitment to their church and communities. CCA is able to provide a full range of clinical counseling services. For more information, Visit our website at www.ccawpa.com.
The fourth component is the ship. How do you design your time for transformation? Because if you have 60 or 90 minutes once a week, once every other week, you have 2 hours every other week, how you use that time is going to really help determine if you're going to effectively get to your destination and on what time frame. An example of that would be if you think to your last small group, if you reverse engineered and plotted out what you did with that 90 minutes, that would tell you you're designing your time for something. Is it with intentionality? And do you understand the different dynamics? A lot of groups, I'll give a broad brush for a 90-minute meeting. You get together, socialize, hang out, talk about whatever, and then about a half or two-thirds into it, somebody says, okay, let's get together. You talk about your chapter, watch a sermon, read a couple chapters of scripture. You talk about what you think about that, and then you go home and you feel good, like you're discipling and following Jesus because that's what the church tells you to do. Well, just doing that every couple weeks doesn't mean we're going to follow Jesus with intentionality and leverage that time because small groups are critical. Therefore, we should be intentional about it and how we use the time and what we're studying. In my groups, it's like how many groups I've been to, it's like, oh, what do you want to do next week? And you just kind of waffle around. Well, this is too important to not be intentional about it. And so a lot of our we're building a catalog of small group curriculum to help small groups apply these truths. It's on Right Now Media. We have 4 or 5 studies out right now on Right Now Media at trueface.org. And these studies have different components to connect relationally at the beginning. But instead of just talking about, again, SEC football, because that's the only hobby my wife allows me to check in on every now and then with the Gators, I got 8 little kids.
Oh, Dr. Congratulations. That's a lot of kids running around.
It is a lot of kids. Instead of just talking about football, connection time, bringing a good open-ended question to be intentional about how you connect is important. And connection is to create a safe and trusting environment to process truth. So connect and then you learn. Learn is what is the content, scripture, sermon, small group study. That learning, usually groups stop with that. But the point of that is to live out, to grow into those truths. And so a segue statement, for example, after you learn, after you study, read, talk about what you think about it, asking the question, what faith step is God inviting me to take? Like, what is trusting God with this truth? How would that change my life? And how can you help me do that? That moves it into growth, into live. And too many groups don't even know that they stay in their head and talk about what they think about it without the application piece to their life and how they can mature into those truths together. And so that those design elements to maximize connection, to create an environment where you can implement truths in order to apply those truths in our lives, those components are important in designing your time for transformation, which is the ship.
Absolutely. You know, I've often thought about that design of how a lot of times it's like the smartest person or the person who likes to read the most, who can recite things, automatically gets associated as the strongest Christian. And it's just like you're saying, like we listen, we participate, and then we go home, but we're really not getting at it. And I think that, it is, to me, at the heart level, we become clear about what our struggle is personally. And then we get clear about other people's struggles and our purpose in binding together to help each other and follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. And it's that learning, that growth and that sense of things it's hard to talk about or hard to acknowledge that it's even there because it's spiritual. That really is apart from those, that traditional, it's all up here in my head,
Yeah.
And so we have to design something that lifts people up and is clear that, that's what we're really aimed for. So, designing the ship, as a time for transformation. Wow, that really provides us a good benchmark.
That'll send me down a rabbit trail. And not that knowing about Jesus isn't important, and I've got a certificate in biblical studies from Dallas. I'm not saying that that's not important. But Jesus told us there's some stuff that are a little bit more important. And you think about who knew a lot in Jesus' days, it was the Pharisees. And, they were the intellectual, spiritual leaders. And Jesus was pretty clear in going, hey, maturity, growth as my disciple is very simple. Discipleship is defined in John 13, 34 and 35. By this they'll know that you're my disciples, by the way you love one another. So we should all look around and say, forget what you know. Truth isn't truth unless it's trusted and applied. And so obedience isn't knowing about something, it's trusting that truth and living it out, which always looks like love. And so love is leadership in the Christian world, of how well we are pouring out our lives, seeking others. And love and leadership, per Jesus's example, looks like asking questions and caring about the other person, not teaching and preaching. Because if you look at the correlations between, instead of answering questions and teaching, Jesus, how much he was present relationally, and his greatest tool in his toolbox was his asking questions, which is where counselors typically love well, simply because they've practiced the art of asking questions per the example of Jesus, which helps us be more known in order to be more loved. Because we can't love, we will love to the degree that we're known, and we'll be known to the degree that we trust others. And therefore, sorry, that's a squirrel, that's a tangent.
Well, it is a sort of a shift in focus. And, what is counseling all about? Like, why do we talk? If I was to encapsulate this in a minute, I see that as like, I'm listening to what you're saying, I'm listening to what you're feeling, and then I'm going deeper into like trying to get a connection that I can get some sense of what it must like be for you. And then really, connecting an empathy. And I often think of it as, when you had old school pianos, you would tune them with a tuning fork. But if you put two tuning forks next to each other, you could strike a tuning fork and the other one next to it would vibrate, with the sound and what was happening with the first. People are like that too. And that, when you listen and open to somebody that you care that much, it's a form of love. It's a form of connection. It reminds me of in the Bible, and you referenced the, John. In John 15, it talks about the vine, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, really lifting the relationship that we have with Jesus, and then in turn we have with each other, the connection. So it's just not in the head. It's an outflowing of our heart and what we do. And, to provide a space, a ship that is going to be an environment for transformation. Wow, is that a task?
So you've got the destination, the captain, the crew, the ship. The fifth core component is, do you have a route planned out? Do you pull out a map and say, what are the components that will help us get to where we're going? And we encourage groups, we walk groups through an exercise to do that, which you plan out 3 to 4 months worth of studies based on where you're at, what you're processing, what your goals are. You say, hey, if this is one of our goals, do we need an overnight retreat to just go hang out and build relationships? Planning 3 to 4 months at a time, and then and putting a date on the calendar for 4 months from now to plan another 4 months, and to check in on your goals, on how you're doing as a captain, on your crew culture, and on the design of your time in the ship. So having a periodic check-in to pull out the map, readjust course, and plan the next 4 months, is critical. And those are the meetings where you say, hey, should we divide? Should we serve more? What should we do? And that answers so many questions that groups have of like the ambiguity of when do we bring up, when do we plan so we don't show up and go, what do you want to study next? And it's just like a whoever has the loudest voice and you're just popcorn and stuff. But if our goals align to an inner life journey that needs to be the focus, or under a spiritual foundation, or servant minded, you would use different content based on your goals and what the needs are. And so being intentional and pairing that together so that you don't do 12 studies in a row on heaven. I'm not saying that's bad, but if somebody's passionate, they might drive it without that collective time to plan and plan the route together as a group.
Yes. Well, you know, great wisdom. We have Robbie Angle here from True Face, author of The Cure for Groups, and five core principles: the destination, the captain, the crew, the ship, the route, a metaphor using sailing on a ship to help us remember. And Robbie, I imagine that if somebody would get this book or get in touch with your organization, they would get an in-depth description and great resources for how they could really implement this. And it sounds like your organization, for the people who are out there in business and say, wow, I could apply this to my work team, or the church pastor says, wow, I would really like my staff to have this, or I would like to roll out a great small group ministry. They can get in touch with your organization. You guys would send out resources, or maybe even be there, huh?
Yeah, we have a podcast, True Face. We do consulting. If you go to trueface.org, you can see the Cure for Groups is a book for a small group leader, who's that's a training that a church can get 20 copies and give them. It's an easy read that unpacks these five principles for a small group leader. If the small group leader wants to launch or reignite their small group around these principles, we built a study called Embark that goes with the Cure for Groups. And this is a 6-week study to apply it very practically in a small group format. And that's on Right Now Media. That's at trueface.org. And so groups can check out. It's a group launch or a 6-week study to reignite your group around these components.
Wow. That sounds really great. Really great resources. So glad, Robbie, that you were with us today, and glad about True Face. I believe if anybody connects with this organization, you're truly going to be blessed. And so we have a tradition here, Robbie, when we have a guest on Ask Christian Counseling Associates, we'd like you to say a prayer for our folks who are out there in our audience. Would you lead us in prayer to end our time today?
I would be honored. Thanks. God, Father, Abba, Daddy, it's wild that we, as your children, get to call you Dad. Help us understand the depths of the gospel and what happened on the cross as you took care of our shame by giving us a new identity, that you made us right as righteous sons and daughters of the King, imparted with your righteousness, not just forgiven, but made new. And help us trust the truth of that and experience your love in new ways. We can't even do that on our own, which is by your grace. So we're across the spectrum and our journeys to trust these truths of how much you love us. And not only that you love us, God, but for all of us listening that have been your sons and daughters by what Jesus did, that you like us. You love us and you like us and you adore us. Help us receive that new identity and therefore pass that along, love each other differently as a result. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Robbie, for being with us today. Robbie Angle, author of The Cure for Groups from True Face. For the folks at home, thank you for listening to Ask Christian Counseling Associates. It was great to have you with us today, and And tune in next time for more great content and authors and people like Robbie Engel. Robbie, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ask Christian Counseling Associates. We hope that you have been blessed by today's presentation. Please visit the Christian Counseling Associates website, where you can comment on today's podcast, sign up for the weekly article, connect with our social media, or even schedule an appointment at one of our nearby locations. We also provide online counseling for those not in our immediate area. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you and keep you well along life's journey.